In the name of Jesus, amen. When I think of the text for this morning and the place where it occurred, Caesarea Philippi, a lot of things go through my mind. I myself have been at that location twice, but the problem for the listener is how can the preacher make the listener feel like he himself has been there? I could give you an elaborate physical description of the place. I could give you some kind of a detailed history of the place all the way down to 1967, when in the Six-Day War, Israel captured the site along with its 200 inhabitants, a dim shadow of what it was at the time of the text when it was a royal city. But I think I thought of a way in which I could make you feel like you were there at Caesarea Philippi. Because you see, the town is built against the base of Mount Hermon, and flowing out of the face of the mountain, a crack there, is a spring of cold, clear water. It happens to be one of the sources of the Jordan River. And I happened to collect some of that water in some bottles, and here's one of them. This is water from Caesarea Philippi. Now I ask you, how long do you think it's been since there was an object lesson here in this chapel? As you can see, since this is such an ancient site, this is very old water. I have preserve some of this so any grandchildren I might have could be baptized with this water. Why? I'm not exactly sure. Well, now that you can feel that like you've been there, we can go on with what exactly is happening there. Now, when I think of what was going on there at Caesarea Philippi, I ask myself, why should I stand on my head like this to make you feel like you were there? You were there. I dare say all of you were there, and I dare say that all of you were at that place only yesterday morning. You were there when you heard a called and ordained servant of the word say, "I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." The same power that was at work there is at work in our midst today. And thus, this story is a fitting follow-up to the festival of Pentecost, the time when the church is clothed with this power from on high. Oh, all right, I suppose you weren't at Caesarea Philippi. You weren't there, but he is here. Isn't that what the gospel is? Not that we go someplace to him, but that he comes to us. He comes to us with his power, and what a power it is. A power to bind and loose sins, a power to shape eternal destinies, and a power to do all that with only a word. A power that is stronger than the power which multiplied the loaves of bread. A power which is stronger than the leaven of the scribes and the Pharisees and any other false teacher that might happen to come along. A power that's stronger than the gates of hell. A power that's stronger than death and the grave. A power that is stronger than the passage of all these centuries between then and now. A power that flows from the living God. In contrast to that pile of stones that were heaped up at Caesarea Philippi, the heap of stones that they called gods, a power from the Father in heaven who revealed to Peter that Jesus is the Christ, a power from the Christ himself who is far greater than Elijah or John the Baptist or Jeremiah or any other human estimates that we might hear. A power that flows from the Holy Spirit when the apostles were blitzed from on high on the day of Pentecost. And above all, and Matthew takes great pains to get this across, a power that flows not from some kind of a shallow victory, but a power from the victory won through the blood of the cross. A power that flows from the great pains of Christ himself on the cross. Only there was that victory won, that forgiveness won, and that power won for us that is at work in our midst. There is no other way, and Matthew also takes great pains to get this across in the words following our text. Any other way is nothing less than satanic. And it is a power that flows through you and me. Even you and I, by grace, are raised above people like Elijah and John the Baptist and Jeremiah through the power of the grace of God. And more specifically, this power is mediated on behalf of God's people by called and ordained servants of the Word. Now, there's something at work in this text here that's so easy to miss. This text at Caesarea Philippi is clothed in human form, just like the church today is clothed in human form. It's so easy to miss, but there's something there that keeps wanting to break out upon us. You can sense it all the way back in the Old Testament. The Old Testament. The glory of God threatening to consume everything. Fire breaking out from the ark. The painstaking care in worship that was required by God himself. The Holy of Holies and all the restrictions that apply to that place. Not to mention, as a follow-up to that, the fire breaking out on people at Pentecost. That's something that's hard to see in the human form is captured by the Apostle Paul when he calls called ministers stewards of the mysteries, marvelous, glorious things that belong to God himself. God's power, something too wonderful for us as sinful human beings. In short, it tells us, already starting with this text, that we as pastors are playing with fire. We are playing with fire. That's why we exercise such great care in handling the very means through which the keys of God are at work in our midst. That's why we study the scriptures so carefully to make sure that what we speak is something that God himself says. That's why we preserve so carefully the water and the name of the triune God. That's why we handle the Lord's Supper so carefully. In all our communion practices, we remember the fire, and we don't toss it around offhandedly as though it were some kind of a potluck supper. Nevertheless, it is the fire of God's love. The Holy of Holies, the sacredness of it, all the restrictions that apply to it, they're all in place because the mercy seat is in that place. That's what makes the ministry so great. We can look at poor souls out there, and we can do more for them than offer them a piece of bread, or offer them a little smooth talk, or give them a little dash of commiserating with them, or offering them a few warm handshakes or emotional chills, if you will. We can really do something for them. We can give them the righteousness of Christ. We can give them peace with God. We can give them real comfort in suffering. We can give them heaven itself. And that's why I like the job of being a minister of the word and being able to really do something for people. And that's why I pray for you this morning that God would put the fire in all you do in this place. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.